chapter 4, verse number 28, is where we'll take our text tonight. We'll read about verse 25 down through verse 30. It's where we've been the last few weeks, and been preaching a series of messages. We preached three messages the Lord's give us. three messages the Lord's give us out of the scripture here. And Lord's been a great help to me. I don't know if it has to you or not. It has been a great help to me. Take you thinking about in verse number 26 there, the revelation of the Christ and how he revealed himself to this woman here of Samaria. And then in verse number 27 last week, we looked at the return of the disciples. When the disciples came back, I feel like the disciples went out into the city there to get food or victuals or whatever you want to call it, and brought them back to Jesus there. That's where I think they went. Bible don't really say, but I believe that was it. But they came back just at the right time. And it did not catch him off guard, but he knew exactly when the disciples would come back. He knew everything that was going on. And I thought this evening as I was coming back up the road, I'd been on the road a little while this evening and was just thinking about the message as I was coming back up the road. And the thought came to me as we've been studying this, how he knew all about her. He knew everything about her. He knew where she'd come from and all that. You've heard me say that so many times as we've been studying this. But he also knew the disciples. He knew just exactly when they was going to be coming back. He knew where they went. He knew at what time. He knows it all. There's nothing he don't know. Amen. He knows everything. He knows about us. He knows it all. And I'm glad he does tonight. And so that's been kind of the theme of the whole chapter, really the whole book, is that he knows us and he knows all. And I'm glad I said this one more time. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I believe that's just one of the greatest attributes of Jesus is his all-knowingness. Amen. He knows everything. Amen. And I believe that's one of the greatest attributes of Jesus, that he knows everything. But tonight, we want to give you the first part of the message tonight. I'm not going to try to finish the whole message, I don't think, unless the Lord just moves that away, about the results of meeting the Christ. The results of meeting the Christ. And I want you to stop just for a minute, even before we read the scripture tonight, and I want you to go back to the time in your heart when the Lord come by your way and saved your soul. Amen. I want you to think about that time. That moment in time is the same moment that this woman here, well, what happened to her. In other words, when we got saved, it's the same point in time. Okay, so we need to understand that. And there were some results of you accepting Christ. There were some results of you coming into his presence, meeting him. And boy, it just made a lasting impression upon you. Could I say it this way? He changed my life. I don't know about yours, amen, but he changed my life. I've never been the same. Amen. If you get saved, you'll never be the same. Amen. If you listen, if you can say you're saved tonight and you live the same way you used to, you're not saved. That's bottom line. You're not saved. Amen. If you can do the things you used to do and there's no conviction down in your heart, you're not saved. That's bottom line. Amen. You just cannot be saved. And so I believe tonight as we look at this, I believe we can put ourselves in the same shoes, if you will, of this lady here when she really met the Christ. Boy, what a blessing. Notice with us, if you will, stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 4, we'll read verse 25 down verse through verse number 30. You're going to have to pray for us tonight. We're still creeped up bad. And told my wife the other day, I said, man, I feel like I've been sick all winter long. And I'm ready for some sunshine. Amen. I'm ready for some warmer weather. Amen. Them folks say they like winter time. I think I'm ready just to smack him in the mouth, I think. Hey, I believe that's spiritual too. Amen. I'm kidding. I'm ready to get rid of winter time, ready for some summertime. Amen. Get rid of some of this mess. Amen. Look with us there in verse number 25. The Bible said, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and came saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Let's pray. Father, we come again thanking you, God, for grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have, God, just to call upon your name, number one. And Lord, just to come together, Lord, in the midst, number two. And Lord God, number three, just for you to be in our midst. Lord, I sure do thank you, God, for just coming our way, letting us sit together in heavenly places. And, oh, good, how good you've been to us. As that song said a minute ago, you've been good to me. And I sure do thank you today. I sure do glorify you. I sure do honor you tonight. Lord, I pray, Father, you'd come this way. Sit down with us, Lord, I pray. Sit down in our hearts that we might understand everything you've got for us tonight. Father, we're begging you, God, for a fresh oil tonight as we preach. Lord, I pray you'd help us, oh God. Please, Lord, anoint my voice. Lord, that I might be able to preach us at the word of God where you'd see fit. Give us fresh oil, fresh unction, oh God. Use us for your glory and your honor. I am nothing, and oh God, I confess to you, Lord, my inability, Lord, my unworthiness. God, I confess it to thee tonight and beg you, Father, you'd hide me behind the cross. And Lord God, just let me preach the way you'd see fit. God bless the people, Lord. Take the word of God, that it go out in the hearts of your people, that it find a lodging place and find fruit for repentance down in their heart. God, I pray, use us for thy glory and thy honor tonight, Lord. And whatever's accomplished, Lord, I'll give you praise for that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Notice with us, if you will, in this scripture in verse number 28 there. I'm not going to try to go back and preach what I did yet last week about the return of the disciples there. We're going to jump on in to verse number 28 because I've got to move on quickly in this. And we are in the next couple of weeks. We probably will be burdened down, I guess. Or I don't like to say burdened down. I guess bogged down there through verse number 30 there. And it'll take us a little while to get through this because God's gave us a lot out of this. But I told you back when we got into the book of John that I'm not going to get in no hurry. I want to stay in there just as long as God will begin to give us things. And that's where we're at tonight. He's gave us some extra things. So I want to think tonight about the results of meeting the Christ. And I believe I could say this before we go any farther. I believe if you meet the Christ, I believe that you will witness for Him. Amen. I believe you will share the gospel. You'll have a desire down in your heart to share the gospel with the lost world out there. Amen. Your lost loved ones, those whom you work for, those that work with you, maybe friends, family members. I believe you'll want to worship or you'll want to witness for the Lord. Amen. You agree with me? Say amen. I realize and understand we do sometimes a bad job. Sometimes we fail short doing that. But I do believe tonight that we should do that. So most of the message that we're going to preach in the next couple of weeks is going to deal with that, deal with what exactly she done and exactly where she done it and some of the things that happened in her life. But before we get to that, I want you to notice the first statement in verse number 28. And this is what we're interested in tonight. It's the portion of Scripture where the Bible says, the woman then left her water pot. I noticed that. Boy, that stuck out in my mind. I've got it highlighted in pink in my Bible. And then I took a marker, a pen, and I underlined it. And then I took a yellow marker and I put it in parentheses. Okay? So what you're saying, preacher, I'm saying this statement right here is very, very important. Okay? I do believe if you get saved by the grace of God, you'll leave your water pot. Amen. If you get saved by the grace of God, when He moves into your heart, you'll leave your water pots. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, that's the reason I ask you to go back to that moment in time when Jesus saved your soul. Can you remember the load that was lifted off? Amen. Can you remember the peace that you had down in your heart? Amen. Can you remember the excitement that was inside of you? Amen. I love to see folks come down and get in the altar and get saved, and when they get up or when they come down, boy, they're weeping, crying tears, and they're sad, they're burdened down and everything. And then they get up, and when they get up, they just look at you with a big old smile, and they've almost got a glow on them. Amen. Hey, that's what it's all about. You know what's happened? They've left the water pot. Amen. They've left it with Jesus. Amen. Can I say this to you in introduction, I guess, tonight, that they've left what's burdening them down. Amen. Those
such things. I don't know about you, but I remember the night I got saved. Man, I come in, Lord, a snake's belly, as they say. Amen. I come and drag you near, worried to death. You've heard me say this many times and testify this. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, run into mom and daddy's room there and check and see if they're still there, afraid that the rapture had come and I'd been left behind. And I was worried, amen. I was worried about if he would even take me, amen, with the things that I'd done, amen. Oh, but I'm glad to say tonight, when I got saved, you know what happened? I left my water pot there, amen. And he took those burdens and lifted those burdens out of my heart and lifted those burdens out of my life. And oh, I ain't never been the same since and never will be, amen. I'm glad tonight I left the water pot there. I do believe this, but we're going to look at a lot of different things about witnessing and everything. But I believe before we can witness, we must leave our water pot. Amen. I believe there's a lot of people that get saved, and when they get saved, and I've had a lot of people, just to be closely, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I've had a lot of people that just doubts. I've had a lot of people that looks at me and says, preacher, how could a Savior, how could a God love me enough to save me? How could that happen? What if I didn't say something right? What if I didn't have the words right? What if I didn't do this right? What if I didn't do the other right? What if he wasn't calling me? What if this? What if that? Hey, I'm here to tell you tonight, if you called on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he saved you, amen. If the Holy Ghost draws you and you called upon him, he saved you, amen. But a lot of times, those that doubt, I believe I could lay it out this way and look at it typically speaking this way, they're still leaving their water pots on the edge of the well. They're reaching out there and reaching and getting it and taking it with them, amen, instead of leaving it there. Can I say to you, when he saves you completely. Amen. He locks, stock, and barrel, amen. He saves you completely, amen. Now I realize this old flesh we live in, it's going to cause us to sin. It's nothing but old sinful mortal flesh is all we are. But one of these days when the trumpet sounds, we're going to get rid of this old flesh. And we're going to have a glorified body. Amen. And we're going to be completely glorified in him. But until then, I realize we got this flesh. But sometimes we try to go back to the well there where we left the water pot. And we try to drag it back and carry it back with us. And all it does is burden us down. And as long as we're doing that, you know what? We'll never witness for him. We'll never work for him. We'll never walk for him. We'll never do anything for him. As long as we're going back to the well and getting those old things. Amen. Sometimes we like to bury the hatchet and grab a hold of the handle and bring it back with us. How many of you ever went to the altar up here, laid something on the altar, got back up and reached down behind you, drug it back with you? Amen. We've all done that, ain't we? Amen. But I believe tonight, if we'll do what God wants us to do, we'll just go ahead and leave our pots on the edge of the well. Amen. I look at this scripture here, and I want to give you a few things here very quickly tonight, if God will help us in this. She left what was burdening her down. I thought about this, and I thought again, I've said this already, I think, but I thought about how many times that she's made the trip to this well. Daily, I'm telling you, every day she's went to this well and she's got water. She's walked back and forth and back and forth. And as she come back, she's carrying that water pot. And no doubt that water pot gets heavy. And no doubt in the middle of the day is when this is happening here. Had she put that water in that water pot and she'd have carried it back to the house in the heat of the day there, boy, it'd have got heavy. She'd have got tired. It got her burdened down. She couldn't hardly put one foot in front of the other. She couldn't hardly go any farther. You know why? She's carrying her water pot. Boy, I remember before I got saved, that's what I was doing, amen. Couldn't hardly put one foot in front of the other, and I was carrying the water pot. But boy, when Jesus came by, I left it on the well, amen. Thank God we left that hindrance on the well. We left that burden on the well, and we left it there and did not carry it back, amen. Oh, I can't get over that. That just still sticks in my mind is how that Jesus came by and lifted my burden and lifted me up and carried me, amen, and took that burden away. I remember a little old lady, Brother Duggan, and knows exactly who I'm talking about here, Sister Barnard Stroud. She's a blessing to our hearts. She's one of them little sweet granny, sweet ladies. She died probably in her 90s, I guess, but she's one of them you like to just sit down and talk to and just had that sweet, mellow voice and just peaceful to talk to and everything. And I've heard her say this many times in her testimony about how she got saved. She'd tell about how that she went there to the well, and that's back when they had to carry water. I've not been involved in that, and so most of you young folk ain't. I know maybe somebody older in here that has, but I've never had to do that, okay? Go to the well and carry the water up, or the spring and carry the water up, but she did. And she'd go down there to the well, or the spring, if you will, and she said she had the bucket. And she'd take two buckets there, and she'd put a stick across her back, and she'd carry two of those buckets, and she'd carry the water back to the house. And that was her job, to carry it back to the house. And she said she went down there to the spring one day, and there's an old Presbyterian preacher come by, and he's Presbyterian, okay? She still got saved under the Presbyterian, okay? You don't have to worry about that. His God does save, and it wasn't him, okay? But anyway, that Presbyterian preacher come by and began to witness to her and tell her about Christ. And she said she accepted Christ right there beside the spring. Got down on her knees right there beside the spring. And she'd tell the story there that she said, boy, when I'd carry that water before, said it was heavy. She said, but that last bucket, when he saved my soul, said I felt like I was as light as a feather. She said, I'd carry it back. And to hear her say that, and her about 80 years old, it just blessed your heart. Amen. And as I was studying this, God brought that back to my mind. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly what happened to us when Jesus saved us. He lifted that burden from us. And now we go and he takes care of the rest. Amen. He carries our burden for us. Amen. He does that peace be still, brother. Amen. He carries it for us. Amen. He gives us those things that we need. And those things, the Bible says, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. It's not heavy because he's bearing our burdens. I'm glad tonight I left my burdens on the well. Amen. Let me move on just a little bit. I thought about this. She left her burdens there. Anything that would weigh her down, anything that would hinder her, she laid it down. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. I do believe that a lot of times we allow the past to burden us down. I believe I could be truthful in saying this tonight, that even though we're saved, I'm not saying you lose your salvation. Don't get me wrong, okay? I'm not saying that. But if you'll be honest with me, I believe, and unless you're super spiritual and I've missed the mark somewhere, okay, we still try to go back sometimes to those things before we got saved. Would you agree with me and say amen? We still try to go back there. We still try to reach back there and get some of those old fleshly things and some of those old things, some of the pride. Amen. Some trying to do it on our own. Amen. You men can say amen right there. You women go ahead and say glory, hallelujah, because you men do. Amen. Hey, listen, we try to do it on our own. And I got to thinking about this as I began to look at it. The thought or the scripture came to my mind about Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. I know those of you that's been studying in Sunday school on Sunday morning there, Steve and Chad's been in there for about 15 years. So I ain't too worried about me being in John for last year, okay? So I ain't too worried about that. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, if you remember, chapter 11 is the faith chapter. The hall of faith, we call it. And we're looking at so many people all the way down through the scriptures that God has as the writer here to write out and to point out. I mean, it's Noah, Abraham, David. I mean, we could go on and on and on all the way through these people. And what the hall of faith is he's showing you that by faith, these people done these things. That's what it's all about. Would everybody agree with me or say amen? That's what he's showing. And as we look in verse number 1 of chapter 12, the Bible says this, let us therefore. Do you notice that? He says, let us therefore. Or excuse me, I moved on a little farther ahead. He says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. In other words, he's relating back to chapter number 11 and saying, because all these people have done all these great things by faith, let us go farther. I started using that word let us because we're going to find about three things. And if you ever get a chance, and I would love to preach this message, God gave it to me years ago, but I've never been able to preach it, about the salad of Hebrews. The salad of Hebrews. What are you using salad? lettuce. Amen. And in the book of Hebrews, you find about five or six different let us. Let us. We're going to look at three of them tonight. Let us. I don't care much for salads. Okay, that's rabbit food. Give me a steak and a baked tater and I'm good to go. Okay. But anyway, we need a lettuce every now and then. But as we look here, what he's saying is those things back there in chapter number 11, they accomplished those things because of faith. Does everybody agree with me there? They accomplished those things by faith, okay? So in bringing it down back into chapter 4 of the book of John, and he's looking at this Samaritan woman, would you agree with me here when he looks at her and says, I that speak unto thee am he. And boy, the first thing she does, she turns around, and boy, she goes to find somebody to tell. Amen. I don't know about you, this deductive reasoning right here. I believe she got saved right there. Amen. I believe she got saved out in the middle of this. I believe God came in her heart right here. I can't find any third reason why it didn't happen. Amen. I mean, deductive reasoning. If she hadn't believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, she would never have went out there and told about him. Amen. She would have never went back to those men, said, come, let me show you, show you a man that told me all things that ever I did. She would have never done that had she not been saved. Amen. So, preacher, what happened right here? She had faith in him. Okay? So you see the correlation here between the two chapters and between the two verses here. Is what she did is she had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these people over here in Hebrews chapter number 11 there, each and every one of them had faith in God. It was because faith in what God could do is the reason that they done great things. Amen. So I want to say to you tonight, as we look at this, it's because of faith if we do anything for God. Amen. I believe I can say to you tonight, the reason that God removed all the burdens for me was because of faith. It was because of faith. You know how you got saved? Faith. You know why you're going to heaven? Faith. Why'd you come to church tonight? Faith. Thank you, sis. Faith, huh? Why'd you get up this morning and look at the Lord and say, Lord, I love you? Faith. You know the world out there, I thought about this coming up the road and I was been down to Forest City down there this evening, and I was coming back up the road, and I was just thinking about the message, and I was praying as I was coming up the road, and I know somebody come up beside of me. We was on the 5 lane there, and I know somebody come up beside of me, and me talking to myself, maybe looked at me and says, what in the world's wrong with that man? He's talking to himself, or maybe he's talking into the Bluetooth thing. Maybe he's talking to the Bluetooth. I was talking higher than the Bluetooth thing. Amen. If you're praying to God, you're reaching higher than the Bluetooth ever thought about reaching. Amen. You're reaching into the heavens. Amen. Excuse me. When you begin to pray and you begin to cry out to God, boy, you're reaching up there. Amen. Can I say this to you? Whenever we do anything for the Lord, it's got to be faith. Amen. It's got to be faith. When he lifted our burdens, it's because I had faith in him. Amen. Whatever I do, it's because I have faith in him. It's because I trust in him. Amen. And put my faith in him. That's the same thing that they did in Hebrews chapter 11. And then we come into chapter 12 and we see there that he says, wherefore, seeing we've been compassed about with all these great cloud of witnesses, I mean, man, we've got experience after experience. We've got instance after instance that God has moved in. Why in the world would we not believe in the Lord? Why in the world would we not have faith? Amen. Notice with me in that scripture in chapter number 12, verse number 1. I'm going to give you three things here. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Notice the let us. Here's one of those salads, okay? Let us lay aside every weight. I began to look at this and I thought about those things that bog you down. And if you look in your Strong's Concordance there, that word, that weight, if you will, it has, I thought it's pretty good. It has the idea of your wheels wobbling, if you'll let me just put it that way, okay? Of a weight so heavy that it would just wobble that you couldn't even go no farther. That's that weight, okay? So I want to say to you tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, if God saved your soul, what's weighing you down? Let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay it aside. What's that word, lay aside? Get rid of it. Cast it away. Cast it away. I don't know about you, but I get tired of hearing these folks saying, well, I just can't. Well, I just can't. You're exactly right. You can't, but God can. Amen. If you're not having faith, when you say, I can't, you're saying, I can't do it. I agree with you. I remember when I got saved, I couldn't save myself. I remember when the Lord called me to preach. I had to have faith in Him. I knowed I couldn't. I told the Lord, I can't, and you can't, but the Lord can. That's having faith. But what happens so many times is we grab those weights. We grab those things that weight us down. The flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, trying to go back to the things that we should have left on the well. Go back to the water pots and we try to carry that and still do things for the Lord. And it don't work that way, church. It does not work that way. Hebrews says there, let us lay it aside, get rid of it. I believe this could be a good revival message. As I began to look at this, I thought to myself, boy, we all need revival. Somebody say amen right there. And this is a good revival message. And revival is this. It's when we begin to lay aside those things that stop us and those things that lay us down, if you will, and burden us down, and our wheels go to wobbling. If we're saved by the grace of God, why is your wheels wobbling? I guess I could put it this way. If you're really, truly saved by the grace of God, we ought to be a flying instead of wobbling. Amen. Now, I know this is easy to preach, hard to live. Don't get me wrong. But we ought to be flying, amen? I mean, we ought to be lies of feather because we ought to be giving God all these things. We ought to be laying aside all these weights that slow us down. Notice with me, if you will, the next thing he says there, let us lay aside the weight, notice this, and the sin that so easily besets us. The sin, can I say it one more time? The sin, did you get that? He did not say sins. He did not say the one sin, if you will, that you have problems with. We've ever one got problems with, one or two or three or four or five or 10, 20 or 30 or 40 or 100. We've all got problems with those, okay? I remember the little joke that they talked about, the people that's, and I can't even remember how exactly the joke goes, but one had problems with the drinking, one had problems with this over here and that over there, and the last one said, I have problems with gossiping, and I can't wait to get back to town to tell on you folks. So, we've all got problems with those one little sin, but that's not what this is talking about. When I looked at this and I seen this, where he said, the sin, and you take that and you go back into your concordance there in your Greek and you read it back, he's talking about the sin that we're saved from. He's talking about the sin of humanity, the sin of us just being human, just being in the human flesh. Now you say, oh, preacher, that makes no sense. I've been saved. Yeah, but if you ain't careful, you'll try to go back and get to there. And that's what happens a lot of times is, well, I've been too bad. I just don't think the Lord can save me. I can't believe He'd save somebody like me. Hey, He saved a lot worse than you are, amen. He's took care of a lot worse than you are. I believe today we can look at this and say to lay aside, don't go back to that, if you will. Those weights that we used to have, those weights that we had before we got saved, that sin that we had before we got saved, leave it on the well. Leave the water pot on the well. Don't take it with you, amen. Leave it there. Notice the next statement here. Let us lay aside the sin which so easily beset us. But notice what else he said. And let us run. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I notice he says there, let's run. Now, it's hard to run when your wheels is wobbling. Huh? If you're taking, and these men that, I'm going to be honest with you, these service men that has these 50-pound packs on their back, and man, they take off and go on a 10-mile hike, so now I'm telling you, that's a man, okay? That's the only thing I can say. That's man, okay? You put a 50-pound pack on me, and I'm going to do a good walk to the door. I'm going to be honest with you. To get plumb to there, let alone go 10 miles, okay? And every one of you, somebody sort of say amen right there. Amen, listen, that's a man. So as I began to look at this, I would go even farther than 50 pounds. I'd say 100 pounds, 200 pounds, to where you can't even hardly get up. You got to run the race, but you're weighted down. He says here, lay aside those things and let us run, okay? That word run means to keep on going, amen? I wish I had time because there's a whole message in this right here. When you think about running a race, man, that man is an athlete. That man has been training. That man has been practicing. That man has been running before. That man has got ready. I mean, he has done everything he can do to prepare for that race. And when he gets ready, he's excited about that race. Hey, listen, have you ever seen an athlete or a runner when they get up to the start line and they get up there with their mind and they're like, hey, Lord, we got to run a race. You know what's going to happen? They get ready to get beat, okay? If they get up there and they've got it in their mind, hey, Lord, we've got to run another race. That's a lot of us Baptists. Somebody say amen. Huh? But oh, no, they're getting up there and they're ready. They're jumping up and down. They're stretching. They're getting ready. And they get up to that line and they're getting ready to run and they're excited about running. Should that not be the way we should be? We should have done left all of our stuff with the well, left our water pot there, laid aside the sieve and the weights, get ready. Amen. Get rid of all that and get up there and get ready to run. And he said, let us run with the race. In other words, let's go. Don't stand still. Let's run. Amen. Let's advance. I believe I could say this. Listen, if we are not closer to God today than we were yesterday, then we're backslidden. If we're not doing more for God today than we did yesterday, I believe we're missing the mark and we're backslidden. Amen. I believe when you're running a race, you are advancing and looking, if you will, for the finish line. You're trying to get from point A to point B. Amen. And I believe he said, let us run. Let us run that race. Amen. Notice the next thing there. The Bible says this. Let us run the race. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I notice not only will he let us lay aside and let us run, but I thought about looking. Looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, I don't know about you, but I like these words. I seen that word author there. Boy, it just jumped out of the page at me this evening. As I was looking back over this, I thought, wow, well, that's good. The author, man, that's a special person. He's the one where it all begins. Amen. He's the creator of that book. That's good, ain't it? He's the creator of this universe. Whether you like it or not, he's your creator tonight. Amen. Whether I like it or not, he's my creator, and I like it. Amen. Oh, listen, he's the author. Amen. And when we run that race, we ought to be looking. Let me stop for just a minute and ask you this question. What's that runner looking for? Huh? What's that runner looking for? Have you ever seen a runner get on the start and finish line and he takes off down the road, he's running a marathon and he goes to... Boy, that's a pretty barn over there, ain't it? Boy, that's a pretty house over there, ain't it? Huh? Boy, look at them roses. Ain't them roses pretty? Huh? Boy, them flowers over there are pretty. You ever seen a runner do that? Oh, no. He's not looking to the side. He's not looking over here. He's not looking over yonder. He's not looking over there. He's got one thing on his mind. He's crossing that finish line. That's the thing that he's looking for, is that finish line. Looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. Who is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says over there in Psalm, David said this, looking unto the hills from which cometh our help. Amen. So many places, he says, look upon him. You remember Peter there. He looked upon Jesus. And when he looked upon Jesus, he was able to walk on the water there and began to walk. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. Amen. I believe when we run that race, not only should we lay aside and we should run, but I believe we ought to look for him. Amen. We ought to put our eyes on him. Now you might say, well, preacher, why in the world? How does this tie into this Samaritan woman? Well, we're going to look at here in just a minute. See, I believe what I'm showing you here is exactly where she's at when she gets saved. She's got to that place where she realized Christ. She realizes he is the Christ. He has revealed himself to her. She has accepted Christ. She has had faith in him. Now she has a decision to make. And from verse 27 to verse 28, or I guess I should say verse 26 to verse 28, in that time period, in that split second, what's she do? She leaves her water pot, number one. She lays aside all the things that's going to burden her down and slow her down. She leaves it there with Jesus. That's shouting ground. Is that not shouting ground? If you'll just go back 4 years after you got saved and realize you left that stuff with Jesus, you left it there beside a hill completely, and then you began to run. I'd put a shout in a backslid Baptist, amen, or Methodist, either one, amen. As we look at that, listen, he is the one that takes those burdens. But then what you do? The Bible says this, and I'm going to give you this, and we'll probably close. We'll give you the rest of the message later on. But the Bible says this. She left her water pot and went her way. Did you get that? Notice back in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 28. And went her way. I like that. Went her way. What's her way, preacher? Sounds to me like the way she come. Huh? Sounds to me like the way she come. Lord gave me this coming up the road this evening. I liked how it fit. I thought, praise the Lord. You know what she did? She didn't go into another city. Huh? She didn't say, now that I'm saved, I'm going to go over here. She was a Samaritan. She didn't say, I'm going to Jerusalem. Huh? She didn't say, I'm going down into Egypt. She didn't say, I'm going over here. The Bible said, and she went her way, right back where she come from. But the thing about it is, she went back a different person than she did when she come. When she came to the well, she was an old wretched sinner, just an old adulteress. Had five husbands, wasn't that shacking up with the one she's living with, amen? I mean, she was an old wretched sinner. Boy, she left that old, all them troubles on the edge of the well there. She gave all them troubles to Jesus, and now she's turned around, and boy, she's headed back her way. And what's she doing? She headed back her way? Well, we'll get into that next week. But I got to give you a little bit. She took the word back to those men. She took the word back to each one of them in there in the city and said, hey, come, let me show you a man. Told me everything that I did. Everything, you know, everything about me, amen. Can I go back to what we said at first? Let me show you a man that knows all about me. Let me show you a man that knows all about you, amen. That's exactly what she did. She laid all that stuff back, and then she went her way, amen. As I look at this, I see, again, right back, if you will, putting ourselves in this position of when we got saved. And I dare say every one of us tonight, if we'd be honest with ourselves and honest with God, there's not a one of us in here tonight that could say that we spread the gospel the way we should. I dare say there's one of us in here that can say that word, those words, that we do share the gospel like we should. But I do believe this. I believe if we put ourselves in the shoes of this lady, I believe we'll share the gospel. I believe we'll share the gospel, but I will say this, and this is the whole thought of the message tonight. Everybody listen to me right here. I'll close. This is the thought of the whole message. You will never witness until you leave those stuff, that junk, that physical stuff, the old fleshly mess, the old sins, all those things you got rid of, until you leave them alone, leave them on the edge of the well, leave them with Jesus, lay aside those weights and the sin that besets you, get rid of those things, you'll never run the race. You'll never run the race. And you'll never run the race without keeping your eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith. We have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the way that the writer wrote this. I believe it's Paul. But I love the way that he wrote this in the scriptures there. The author and the finisher of our faith. Our faith began when we had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and he saved us. And the Bible says this, the just shall live by faith. Everybody remember that scripture? And the Bible also says from faith to faith. Everybody understand that? Everything you do, everywhere you go, everything that we do for the Lord, it's by faith, okay? But there's going to be a day when he calls us up yonder and he's going to be the finisher of our faith, because faith is going to end inside. When we get to heaven, there's going to be no more faith. When we get to heaven, we won't need faith, amen? Because we'll be there with him, amen? Oh, he is the author. He's the beginning of it because he gives us a measure of faith to be saved by. But boy, he'll also be the finisher of our faith, amen, when we get to heaven, amen. I can't wait to get there. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get there. But I believe tonight that we should lay aside every weight and sin that besets us. Leave our water pots on the edge of the well. Let's stand your feet tonight.